Good morning.
Good morning.
I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my pleasure to serve this generous congregation. It's good to see all your wonderful faces this morning, so many people who've been here for a long time and many newcomers, and I want to let you know that every one of you is welcome here. You're welcome no matter who you love. You're welcome no matter how you express your gender. You're welcome no matter the color of your skin or what your beliefs are. Everyone is welcome into this beloved community. And this morning, you might have noticed a smell of paint in the air. Notice the downstairs and the bathrooms are wonderfully painted. And I want to give a humongous thank you to all the people who made that happen. The number one energy behind that effort was Yvonne Askey. And if you see her, please hug her and tell her how much you appreciate it. She had some really good team members that helped her, which were Gary Joaquin, Rick Tangeman, and Anita Clark. And there were over 35 people who came here over the last couple of days and taped and took things off the walls and painted and scraped paint and fed people and cleaned. And we are so grateful for all of their tremendous generosity. So I have a couple of announcements before we begin today. One is, if you are new today, there are little pieces of paper in the seat in front of you. And if you wanted to fill that out with your information, we can send you our e-blast and other electronic communications about our community. If you are online, if you'd like that, to send that information to our administrator at admin@wolf.org. We're going to have coffee after service downstairs and online if people are interested in those things. We are now going to rise as you're willing and able to sing our first hymn. I'm going to lift my sister up. Rise, rise.
Fellowship members would like to come and sit in the front row. We've got some musical instruments to bang on. Come on up.
This place feels like a party today, I have to say. The energy here is high, so let's sing.
Okay, we're going to start with I'm going to lift my brother up. I'm going to lift my brother up. He is not heavy. I'm going to lift my brother up. He is not heavy. I'm going to lift my brother up. He is not heavy. If I don't lift him up, if I don't lift him up, if I don't lift him up, I fall down. Sister, lift my sister up. She is not heavy. I'm gonna lift my sister up. She is not heavy. I'm gonna lift my sister up. She is not heavy. If I don't lift her up, if I don't lift her up, if I don't lift her up, I will fall down. Sibling! I'm gonna lift my sibling up. They are not heavy. I'm gonna lift my sibling up. They are not heavy. I'm gonna lift my sibling up. They are not heavy. I don't lift them up. You don't lift them up. If I don't lift them up, I will fall down. Children, I'm going to lift my children up. They are not heavy. I'm going to lift my children up. They are not heavy. I'm going to lift my children up. They are not heavy. If I don't lift them up, if I don't lift them up, if I don't lift them up, I will fall down. People, I'm gonna lift my people up, they are not heavy. I'm gonna lift my people up, they are not heavy. I'm gonna lift my people up, they are not heavy. If I don't lift them up, if I don't lift them up, if I don't lift them up, I will fall down.
I'm going to invite Gil and Eleanor up to light our chalice for us this morning. Eleanor is going to be Gil, who is doing this. So we are going to light this chalice this morning for the symbol of our faith, for the light within each of us that brightens the world for everyone else. Let us say our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our mind to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. My name is Scott Winters, and my pronouns are he and him, and I am grateful to serve as your lay leader this morning. Our opening reading is Choose to Bless the World by Reverend Dr. Rebecca Ann Parker. Reverend Dr. Parker is a Unitarian Universalist American theologian, author, and former president of Star King School for the Ministry. She was the first woman to serve as the permanent head of an accredited U.S. theological school. You must answer this question. What will you do with your gifts? Choose to bless the world. The choice to bless the world is more than an act of will. It is an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a broken world, unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery abide. Please stand as you are willing and able as we sing Spirit of Life. Our story this morning is called What is Given from the Heart by Patricia C. McCassick, illustrations by April Harrison. It was a rough few months for Mama and me. We were already poor, but we got poorer last April when Daddy went to sleep on the front porch and didn't wake up. We lost the farm and moved into a run-down house. On Friday the 13th, it rained frogs. Everything flooded, and Smitty, my dog, disappeared. We got an early snowfall in November, and Christmas was skimpy, but we made it through to the new year. Before I realized it, February was upon us, with Valentine's Day just 2 weeks away. One Sunday, Reverend Dennis told us, just as we always do, we'll be delivering love boxes to needy folks in our community. Irene Temple and her little girl have lost everything in a fire
Next week, bring whatever you think might be useful to them. Remember, what is given from the heart reaches the heart. James Otis, we need to help out, Mama said. How are we going to do that, Mama? We ain't got nothing ourselves. Mama kept right on talking. Sister Bunch told me the daughter's name is Sarah. She's 7, 2 years younger than you. You can find a bit of something for her, don't you think? I was not convinced. That night, I lay warm under one of Mama's quilts. What can I give Sarah to make up for all she's lost, I wondered. I considered the blue ribbon I'd won in the school spelling bee. Nah, that award was important to me, but it would mean nothing to her. I looked over my beautiful sparkling rock, the one I'd found down by the creek. But how would that help Sarah? You can't eat a rock. Come morning, I found Mama busy sewing. I know if we had a fire, I'd miss my aprons, Mama explained. So I've decided to make Mrs. Temple one. But Mama, you're using your white tablecloth, the only nice thing you have. James Otis, I'm stitching with a loving heart. My hope is that this apron will give as much joy to Mrs. Temple as the tablecloth has given to me. That made me study harder on what I could contribute. Maybe Sarah would like something to play with, like my whistle. But my spit was all over it. What about crayons? No way, I couldn't give her used crayons. As time flew towards Valentine's Day, I fretted more and more. Then I remembered my book, Things That Roll. Sarah might enjoy my book, I thought, but maybe she didn't like trucks and marbles and such. It still got me to thinking. I gathered my crayons, my pencil, and some paper and got busy. On the Sunday before Valentine's Day, we were off to church. Along the way, Mama told me, as usual, the trustees will deliver the love boxes to the homes of the needy. But Reverend Dennis has invited the Temples to receive theirs at Olive Chapel so they can meet the congregation. The church was full. Mama beamed as she placed the apron in the box. Then when we presented the Temples with their love box filled with all kinds of clothing and food and tools and toys, the congregation shouted, Amen. Sarah clung to her Mama and hid her face. I walked over. Hi, Sarah, I said. My name is James Otis, and I'm pleased to meet you. Same to you, she answered. Here, I said, handing her my gift. I wrote it, drew the pictures, and put it together by myself, just for you. Sarah managed a smile as she stared at the book I'd made. She read the cover, From My Heart to Your Heart, by James Otis Petway. It's about a little girl named Sarah, and I can't believe it, she squealed, a book about me. I laughed out loud. Sarah pressed the book to her heart and whispered, Thank you, James Otis. Walking home, Mama held my hand. I'm proud of you, James Otis. How come, I asked. 'Cause you're you. It had started to snow. I stuck my tongue out to catch a snowflake as Mama spun joyfully round and round. Suddenly, Mama stopped. Look, there's something on our porch. I rushed ahead, and there it was. A love box had been delivered to us. And our hearts rejoiced. Our hearts rejoiced. And now we will sing the children to their classes.
Gratitude. 'Tis the time of the year that we think more about gratitude. And today we are grateful for so many folks who are here with us today. And in fact, we need a little bit more seating. And so if folks on the ends, if there's space in between, if you wouldn't mind coming and sitting in the middle, that would be helpful for folks that might want to come and sit on the aisle. Thank you so much. Gratitude. The simple and profound feeling of being thankful is the foundation of all generosity. I am generous when I believe that right now, right here, in this form and this place, I am myself being given all that I need. In this season of gratitude, I want to invite you to pause just for a moment and reflect on what you might feel grateful for today. Perhaps it's the sunny weather that we've been having, that there's still some red leaves on this tree out here to enjoy. Perhaps it was a call from a family member or friend that you have missed. Perhaps it's the support that you receive from this beloved community. I invite you now to share aloud what you are feeling grateful for today.
Hillary.
What was that?
Hillary.
My daughter. Your daughter. A beautiful paint job, yes. Thank you. Sunshine.
So many kids.
So many kids, yes. We are grateful for the children.
Senior centers.
Yeah. Thank you. And we also want to acknowledge all the gratitude that you hold in your heart that's unspoken today as well. Today is Donate the Basket Sunday, and our recipient of the months of October, November, and December is Home Plate. And Spencer Ehrman is on their board, and he will now share a little bit about their mission and the services they provide.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning. We have, as we all know, there's an epidemic of housing insecurity in our communities. In Washington County, there are over 3,000 youth between the ages of 12 and 24 who are experiencing housing insecurity, and in the Beaverton School District, that number is 2,000. I am honored to be on the board of Home Plate Youth Services, and I'm very grateful that I get to be here with all of you guys today. Home Plate is Washington County's only nonprofit provider of drop-in centers, street outreach, and stabilization services for youth aged 12 to 24 who are experiencing housing instability. Since our founding in 2005, we've served nearly 5,000 youth through support, street outreach, drop-in centers, and stabilization, education, employment, and housing services. More than 60% of the youth in Washington County who experienced housing instability in 2021 and 22 are in Home Plate's focus service areas, Alloa, Beaverton, Hillsborough, and Tigard Tualatin. Our work is about meeting youth where they are, grounded in our belief in their independence and power, and driven to create a space where they feel a sense of belonging. So as you think about gratitude and philanthropy and giving today, please hold children in your hearts. Thank you.
Thank you, Spencer. We are very proud to partner with Home Plate and all of the valuable work that you're doing. Thank you, Spencer. The host can now come forward as we receive our financial gifts today. Thank you all for your generosity today. Will you please join me in our affirmation of gratitude? Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
Over the last several weeks, I've been listening to people's stories, not just here at WOOF, but in other communities that I find myself in. And I am reminded again and again how much of life can be heartbreak. You live long at all, and your heart gets broken over and over. We love, we lose, we fail, we disappoint, we are disappointed. We watch in our own lives and on the nose people behave in the worst ways that humans are capable of behaving. We forget over and over again to love ourselves. Or maybe we never thought we should love ourselves. I'm also reminded in these stories about how much love there is, how it can arrive unexpected and undeserved, and that there is grace. How out of pain often something else grows, or at least one remembers to look at the golden trees and smile. How strangers will offer safety and kindness. How people can be so selfless and kind and loving, giving spontaneously of what they have. This is our time to reflect on those own things in our lives. We will have a moment of silent reflection. And as the music begins, please come forward if you feel moved to do so and place a stone in the bowl of water. The water is the community of compassion here that bears all the sorrows. It is also the community of celebration that shares all joys. You're welcome. I'll have a microphone, and you're welcome to share in a sentence your joy or sorrow, or you're welcome to silently place your stone in the water. Let's hold that. We will now sing, you may stay seated if you'd like, Loving Kindness. We've been singing this all month, actually, because it is from Loving Kindness is the ground of generosity, which is our theme.
Be filled with loving kindness.
We are about to embark upon a time of giving. The winter holidays begin this week, and they abound in the desire to be generous, to give gifts to people we love, to those people who have little, and to share our resources with organizations we care about. They also ask us to receive, to genuinely feel the gifts we are given. Those through the bounty of existence, air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, but also those other gifts shared with us by friends and family. Receiving can be so much more difficult than giving sometimes. Most of us learned we should be self-sufficient and that asking for help or having needs was shameful. We should be the ones giving and serving. We should have everything handled and have enough resources for what we want and for what we need. However, Brené Brown, writer and teacher on living wholeheartedly, says, until we can receive with an open heart, we're never really giving with an open heart. When we attach judgment on receiving help, we knowingly or unknowingly attach judgment to giving help. So I want us to just take a minute during this time of meditation and reflection to consider something that's been given to you recently. Perhaps help or a gift. Perhaps a hug or a smile. Maybe someone picked up the tab for lunch or unexpectedly called for conversation or really listened. Perhaps someone helped you do something difficult or gave you something you really needed. So I just want us to sit here for a moment. You can close your eyes if you wish. It feels good. Take a breath. And think of that gift. And feel the care and love from that gift falling into your heart like a nourishing, warm summer rain. Just receive that love and care. Open your heart. You are worthy of this. You are a child of the glorious, mysterious universe. And you are worthy of this gift. Unfortunately, Kim Transier, who was generously going to sing for this morning, has struggled with a sore throat all week. So instead, we're going to watch a Gratefulness Song to the World, produced by Gratefulness.com.
You're my life, you're my breath, you're a smile, you're my guest. You're the earth, you're the sun, you're the grass, you are love. You're my hand, you're a bug, you're my eyes, you're a hug. You're the light in the dark, you're the spark, you are fun. You're my mom, you are water, you're the stars, you're my daughter. You're my friends to the end, you're my dreams, you're my father. You're the ants on the ground, the miracles that surround. I'm feeling it all around, the hemisphere in the clouds. You're my pain, you're my sorrow, you're my hope for tomorrow. You're the strength when I'm hollow, you're the path that I follow. You're the blessings that exist, the small things that are bliss. The gift to realize that.
All that I am, all that I see, all that I've been and all that I'll ever be is a blessing. It's so amazing and I'm grateful for it all, for it all.
Start looking towards your heart. It'll open all the doors and only then you'll
chorus with your mind and heart. Align to purpose, everything
all
will feel
that
gorgeous.
I am, all that I see, all that I've been and all that I'll ever be is a blessing. It's so amazing, and I'm grateful for it all.
Every day I sit and pray, cause what I have is more than I deserve or I could ever imagine. How do I get back to all of this magic and spread the love so everybody can have it? Doesn't matter if I'm rich or poor, if I got a family or if I'm all alone. Bad things happen, I can just complain and moan, but there's a million things that I can be grateful for. The small things are the bliss, the gift to realize that everything is a gift.
All that I am,
all that I be,
all that I've been,
all that I can ever be,
it's a blessing,
it's so amazing,
and I am grateful for it all.
Wow, yeah, it was beautiful. This is a reading by Reverend Angela Herrera. She is the senior minister at First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque. Something profound happens when we give from our poverty, when we give from what we don't have. Giving from what you don't have is a fraught and powerful psychological act. If you don't have time, spending time on something is giving out of your poverty. If you are lonely and don't have friends, offering friendship to others is a heady moment. If you feel unlistened to, listening to others is a soulful and momentous gift.
Our theme this month is generosity, which seems like something pretty great to contemplate before the beginning of the winter holidays with their strong emphasis on giving. One thing I love about the flow of the winter holidays in the United States is that it begins with Thanksgiving, a holiday whose entire purpose is to be grateful. How wonderful is that? Yes, we have to cross out the intense consumerism of the winter holidays and Black Friday, which has crept into Thanksgiving and the weeks before. And we also have to cross out that horrible, untrue tale of Thanksgiving that led generations of children, including me, to believe the indigenous people laid down a welcome mat to European colonizers instead of the truth of European genocide of Native people. But if we do cross that out, and it is completely possible to do so, then Thanksgiving is a holiday that celebrates abundance and reminds us to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all that is our lives. The world is truly extravagant if you pay attention. We saw that in the video. A remarkable flow of life and of wonder. The world brightens in such color this time of year, so vibrant against blue skies, that to look is to be awed. Apples this time of year are crisp and slightly sour, and the winter squash is a creamy, mellow sweet. The earth is so bountiful that it could feed all 8 billion people if we just gave up the idea that you have to pay money to eat. What abundance. When I am grateful and feel the true abundance of life, when I feel loved, secure, and happy, I find I can give almost spontaneously of my time and energy, attention, and money. I automatically call the lonely friend, write big checks, help out, and listen fully. I feel as if my abundance overflows, creating more abundance. This is the reason I love Thanksgiving as the start of the winter holidays. It prepares our giving nature and reminds us why we give. Oh, I know. Our culture has wrapped up giving in obligation and status, particularly through the winter holidays, and it can often feel really difficult. But if we can set that aside, you know, all these asides, giving does flow naturally from gratitude. We are showered in all that is and give gladly because the world is bountiful, because we are bountiful and have much to offer, and because it's fun. Philip Moffat, a Buddhist teacher, tells this story about the importance of knowing that we have something to offer, that we are people who have the capacity to be generous. He writes, "As a teacher living in the Appalachian Mountains, I worked as a bag boy in the local supermarket. To my consternation, it was the working poor who were most likely to give tips, and they often seemed much more needy than I. I would either refuse the tip or sometimes slip the money back into one of the bags as I put them in the car. I felt quite proud about this until one cold, rainy Christmas Eve, when a man wearing a cheap, worn-out clothes and driving a beat-up car filled with many wide-eyed, unkept children insisted on giving me a large tip. I was embarrassed at the idea of taking his money and flatly refused. He looked me straight in the eye and said, 'This is something I can do for you. This is my Christmas.' Suddenly I got it. The tips were not about me. They were about the giver, his values, and his life. Unconsciously, I believed I had the right to decide the appropriateness of another's generosity when directed towards me. Such arrogance, such ignorance. I accepted the money and deeply thanked him." Sometimes a generous spirit flows easily through me. This is not always true, though. Sometimes the world just doesn't feel abundant to me. When my mood is low, when I have unexpected bills, when it's been gray for months, when my to-do list feels like a heavy stone, and when I am tired, everything feels scarce. There's no time, there's no money, there's no energy. My instinct is to curl into myself and reserve what I do have. When life clamors, hungry for my attention, all I want to do is whisper no No, I've barely got this. Go away. Not sharing at this time. Perhaps you've noticed similar patterns in your own life. What I'm learning, though, is one of the ways out of the boxed world of scarcity is actually turning our situation around and serving, volunteering, and giving what we have to help others and our community. We are actually hardwired, biologically, to be generous people. We know this because humans are both healthier and happier when they are generous with their time and resources. This is not a debated issue, either scientifically or within the spiritual traditions that have been guiding people towards well-lived lives for generations or for millennia. Research has consistently shown that using our time and money for the benefit of other people makes us happier than spending time and money on ourselves. Happy people volunteer nearly 6 hours per week compared with unhappy people who volunteer just over half an hour a week. Those who are hospitable are happier than those who are not. Studies show that generosity actually triggers all the happy chemicals in the brain, including dopamine, endorphins that block pain, and oxytocin, which is the love hormone. People who are generous are less likely to suffer from depression or loneliness. People who volunteer have less trouble sleeping, less anxiety, less helplessness and hopelessness, better friendships and social networks, and a sense of control over chronic health conditions. People who give away more than 10% of their income are less depressed than those who give away less. Generosity lowers blood pressure, risk of dementia, and reduces cardiovascular disease. One study found that helping others eliminated the stress risk factor that often speeds up disease development. Another found that people who contribute time and money are at a reduced risk of mortality. Generosity helps us be more trusting. It is not an uncommon experience that when we give, we feel that we got more than we gave. An ancient Hebrew proverb reads, "One man gives freely, yet he gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but ends up impoverished." A Hindu proverb reads, "They who give have all things. Those who withhold have nothing." Generosity is really like a magic elixir. If pharmaceutical companies could put all the benefits in a pill, it would be considered a wonder drug, like gabapentin, prescribed for everything. A practice called social prescribing is growing, actually, in the health community. Patients get connected with activities that change their circumstances in ways that change their health. Volunteering is a significant part of this practice, because research shows it works. It improves both health and mental health. Still, sinking into scarcity thinking, feeling we have nothing to give, feeling we need all of our resources just to survive, can be really easy to do. What though if we switched things up, thought differently about our approach to life? The Reverend Dr. Elizabeth Stevens writes, "A simple change of perspective can revolutionize the way we move through life. Instead of focusing just on what we want, we can choose to focus on what we want to give." This is similar to what I quoted Amy Campbell saying last week. Campbell began to ask herself, not what do I need and want, but what is it I really need to keep? Thinking in terms of what we can give instead of what we want and need can radically shift our lives. The focus is not on ourselves anymore. This is also a big finding of science that is shared throughout spiritual traditions. Thinking about ourselves all the time does not make us happy. In fact, the opposite is true. The more we think about ourselves, the less happy we are. Unfortunately, consumer culture asks us all the time about our wants and needs. ordering at a coffee shop or selecting something in the cereal aisle requires a great deal of self-knowledge. Humans historically didn't need to know quite as much about themselves just to get through the week as we do. One of the effects of being immersed in consumer culture is a focus on ourselves because we practice focusing on ourselves all the time. To open ourselves to more love and happiness, we need to shift ourselves out of that mindset. The way out is the same as the way in. We have to practice. We need to practice generosity, offering what we have to offer to those we love and to our communities and to the earth. At least as much as we practice knowing what we need and want. So we think about ourselves part of the time and we think about others part of the time. And try to shift that to thinking about others more of the time than we think about ourselves. But it's all a matter of practice. So as we move through our lives, we can ask ourselves, what do I have to give? This is the question Otis mused about in this morning's story. He had almost nothing. But what did he have that would be meaningful to Sarah? What he had was creativity, some paper and crayons and a pencil, and a loving heart. And that mattered tremendously. Maybe we are really busy, as so many of us are, or really tight on cash, which can happen. But even then, we can still ask ourselves, what do I have to offer at this time, in this place, to this person, to this organization, to this movement? That is the question the man in Philip Moffat's story asked himself. What can I give this Christmas? What do I have? He saw himself as a giving person, so he gave what he had to give. Flipping the question from what do I want and need to what can I give can crack us out of that shell of scarcity and teach us about the abundance that exists out in the world and within ourselves. The Reverend Angela Herrera said in this morning's reading, "Something profound happens when we give from our poverty, when we give from what we don't have." Giving what you don't have is a fraught and powerful psychological act. If you don't have time, spending time on something is giving out of your poverty. If you are lonely and don't have friends, offering friendship to others is a heady moment. If you feel unlistened to, listening to others is a soulful and monumentous gift. I have done this before. Being a minister forces that sometimes, and it is actually amazing. I may feel battered by all there is to do. Phone calls to make, emails to return, services to prepare, books to read, reports to write, and then something really challenging happens in our community. And I am needed, and so I go. And time opens up almost luxuriously sometimes. Because I am present to life, giving my attention to someone in pain or a really conflicted situation. I learned that I have time in all those things, the missed deadlines, the unreturned emails, perfection, details. They're all still there, or they didn't work out, and it's okay. The weight of it all lifts. I learn the abundance of time, something I find it so incredibly easy to lose. But telling you this today reminds me to continue to practice, because that is all there is, to practice and then remember to practice. Whether any particular moment in your life, this moment, another moment, whether it requires that you focus on yourself and your needs or wants, or on others, if that's like the best course for you, it's an act of discernment. Of course it is. Because sometimes we truly are exhausted. Sometimes we have to check out and rest, or just do things that fill our soul and our being so we can keep walking. And this is good, and it's fine. And no one should ever feel guilty about that. We do need to care for ourselves, and sometimes in ways that truly are all about us. But sometimes, when we feel like we have nothing to give, the best thing, the thing that is going to bring us most alive, is to discover that contrary to our first thought, like Otis in the story, we do have a lot to give. We are bountiful and abundant people. I often think of faith communities as places where we practice being the beloved community. We try out different ways of being in relationships. We begin relationships with new and different people. We try to resolve conflict differently than our usual patterns. We care for each other. We help people find their gifts and their passions and give them space to grow. And then we take what we learn into our lives and into the communities so we can create beloved community on this earth. We, all of us, people who are not here today, create this congregation, WOOF, one generous act at a time. Today is brought to you entirely by generosity. Our tech people make sound, audio, and streaming possible. Musicians perform. Scott is lay leading. Others will lay lead. Hosts greet us each Sunday. People make and clean up coffee. Others teach and care for our children. Yesterday, 35 plus people, woofers and friends of the congregation, did a flood of generosity and painted walls and bathrooms and changed fixtures. Everything here is maintained by gifts of time and money. WOOF is basically generosity manifested. So WOOF is a place to practice generosity. It is a place we can learn that practice. We can ask not only what do I want from this community, what are my needs, how is it going to fill me, but also what can I offer this community? What's in me that would help this community flourish? So many of us already give so much. Some people give in this congregation in ways that simply humble me. I am often stunned by the abundant showering this community with life. And I feel gratitude overflowing. So in this sermon, I am not suggesting in any way that people here do not give enough. Like, not at all. I am not suggesting specifically any of you right now listening are not giving enough. I am simply suggesting that we all spend some time paying attention to how we think about our lives and what we do and what we don't do. And if we spend a great deal of time thinking about our needs and wants and trying to get them filled, that we might want to start the practice of flipping our thinking from scarcity to abundance and see what happens. And I am suggesting this is a great loving community to work on that practice and discover all the ways generosity builds the beloved community we seek. As you all know, we're doing a visioning process, and that was the announcement I forgot to make. After church, there's going to be group soup created, again, through generosity, and we're going to be having a visioning session in Forest Hall. And that is a time that if you have not gone and talked about what really matters to you at WOOF and what you want from WOOF in the future, we really want to hear from you. We've had like about 25 people participate, and we really want to hear from everybody. So, more generosity manifested. But in the early things that the people have said is community is one of the most essential pieces of this. So how do we create that beloved community together? What do we each offer to make the community real? Right now, we actually need more people to make coffee and host and teach both children and adults. and these would build our ministries of welcoming and learning. It would be amazing to have teams to study ways for us to have an elevator and more parking. These would be such a gift to so many people. What WOOF is has everything to do with what each of us discovers we have to give. After service today, during coffee downstairs, our administrator, Jen, is hosting a table where you can discover ways to serve here and discern whether there's ways you would like to practice generosity. Or maybe you have your own creative ideas. I keep thinking, wouldn't it be cool to host like a generosity circle where people get together and talk about the shift in their lives? That'd be cool if somebody wanted to do that. But I'm sure there's so many, many ideas, right? So much is abundant and possible in our abundant and amazing world, and from each of our abundant and amazing selves. So we are going to rise and sing 1024, When the Spirit Says Do.
You gotta do when the Spirit says do. You gotta do when the Spirit says do. When the Spirit says do.
Spirit says shout, Spirit says shout.